There was this man named Ron Sveden, and Ron was 75 years old, living in Massachusetts, when he started to find he had a bit of a pain on his chest, and he was coughing a lot. Eventually, he was coughing so badly, and he was in so much pain that his wife took him to the emergency room. They did some x-rays. They found that his left lung had collapsed, and there was a dark spot on his lung. They figured for sure this is cancer, and so they took him into surgery. And when they operated, they found that on his lung, in his lung, there was a small 2-centimeter pea plant growing. He'd been eating peas, and instead of swallowing, he'd inhaled. And you know how you say, must have gone down the wrong pipe? Well, it did go down the wrong pipe. And because of the warmth and the moisture in his lung, the seed had actually germinated. He survived well. He recovered. He was quite amused in the article that I read. He said he was quite amused because the first meal that they brought in hospital after his operation, you guessed it, had peas. So we're talking about the kingdom, and I know there's been a little bit of a gap between my last kingdom preach and this one, but I said that every kingdom has a king, and then I said that disciples of Jesus, we are called to be born for the kingdom, or born into the kingdom. And Ron's story is about something that he didn't know was there growing inside of him. And the kingdom is something that's within us and that we want to grow. We need it to grow. And the scripture, why Ron's story came up, and the scripture that I'm going to be sharing this morning is Luke 13, 18 to 19. And this is the parable of the mustard seed. Then Jesus asked, "What is the kingdom of God like? What should I compare it to? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds perched in its branches." So the kingdom of God begins in a believer's life when they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But then it's meant to grow. We said 2 weeks ago, or a couple of weeks ago, how do we enter the kingdom of God? And Jesus said, you must be born again. So we start as infants, as babies, but it is never God's intention that we stay babies. His intention is that we grow, not only physically, but spiritually. He never intended us to be baby Christians for our entire lives. So when we look at the scripture, we realize that God's kingdom starts small. That was the picture of a mustard seed I found online, and they're not really the size of a cantaloupe or a watermelon or something. They really are very small. If you held it in between your fingers, you wouldn't actually be able to see if you held it nice and tightly. But the growth that happens in God's kingdom can start incredibly small. That one moment where we say, Lord, I want you in my life, that's a small step. That's a small step. That one conversation, maybe that one prayer, is where the kingdom starts to grow within us. But we have to remember that small beginnings can also have very large outcomes. Every single tree that we see around started quite small, except for avocado pears. They start quite big. But most seeds are pretty small. But we see these massive trees. A river starts just very small. I don't know if you've ever been in the Berg and got to the beginning of some of those rivers that are huge by the time they get to our oceans, but where they start, they just trickles. So we have to remember that God's kingdom can start small, but it can't stay small. And then growth happens over time. The kingdom of God is organic. Seeds don't grow overnight noticeably. There are a couple that do. I believe that what is that thing called? You see, this is what happened when you hit your head a couple of weeks ago. You can't remember what bamboo's called. There we go. I knew it would come to me. But it starts small and it grows very quickly. But other things take a very long time to grow. And we've got to say it needs some time for God's kingdom to grow. Some things grow faster than others. But in Mark, Jesus said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows. Though he does not know how, all by itself, the soil produces grain, First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts a sickle to it because the harvest has come. So we have this growth that happens. Sometimes we don't even know where it comes from, but it happens night and day. God is growing us. It doesn't happen quickly. It can. Sometimes it does. In my own life, my spiritual growth sometimes goes a little bit like a yo-yo. I can know that there's been a time of growth. And other times there might be a time where I think, where is God in this whole equation? And then there's other times, but often it's about my attitude more than about God. It's often about that. We love instant results in our world, instant coffee, instant messages, instant internet. I mean, remember when we used to dial up? We were happy to wait, eh? Now, a website doesn't load in like 3 seconds. We're already onto the next website. But growth sometimes takes some time. We don't get instant maturity. Maturity is something that we develop over time. God grows people over time. Peter wasn't transformed overnight, this one, or the one in the Bible. Neither was Paul. And neither will we be. We won't be transformed overnight. But that doesn't mean that we should not press into God. Because growth requires our cooperation. And this is critically important. When you read all of these parables about the kingdom of God, the people in the parables are doing something. I mentioned this a few weeks ago. The man scatters the seed. The woman mixes in the yeast. A man planted a mustard seed. The merchant searched for pearls. The fisherman cast his nets. When the man found the field with that treasure of great value, he went and sold everything and bought the field. The farmer sowed. God gives growth, but we need to respond in faith. Discipleship is not passive. We cooperate with God. We are partners in this. Paul says in Colossians 2, 6 and 7, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." So what we received, the scripture's telling us, that's what we need to continue to live in. We have to press into God. We have to put ourselves in God's way. I know that sounds wrong, doesn't it? But we have to continually put ourselves into God's way. Sunday mornings, critical. Small groups, so important. Coffee with a mentor. Maybe coffee with somebody who you could be mentoring. Constantly turning towards God, constantly seeking his cross, his will, his way. Personal devotion to Bible reading and prayer. Spiritual growth requires our cooperation. We are a scrolling generation. You can't go anywhere where people are not scrolling. So I thought, why don't we scroll to Scripture? But why not? If we're going to spend our time on our phone looking at stuff, don't look at junk. Look at good stuff. Keep filling your mind with scripture, with sermon clips, with quotes. I'm not fully writing off the scrolling thing. Spend time with your wife, or else you know what happens. But if you're going to scroll, get the right stuff. We also learn something else about seeds, and that we learn is that the condition of the heart also matters when it comes to seeds. We read this parable in Matthew 13. "Then he told them many things in parables, saying, 'A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. The birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear.'" Now, the one thing I love about this parable is that we're never left guessing, what is this about? Because just after this, Jesus says, "Let me tell you what this parable is about." He goes on to say, "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, The evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. So those that do not understand, we need to press into understanding. Not to get a theology degree or to be the smartest person in the room, but understanding what God is saying to us in our lives from His word. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. So there we have the seed falling but not having roots. So we have to ensure in our own lives that whatever faith we have develops strong roots. A seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. So there's this, the worries of the world. Nobody has no worries of the world. We all have those things. But I get so sad when I hear that the worries of the world have pushed people away from God and His word. We should push into Him even more when we find ourselves in a tough place. He finishes off by saying, but the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. We want to be those people. We want to have that soil in our lives. It doesn't happen by accident. It happens when we get in God's way. The soil is the problem and not the seed. We have to say, what does the soil of my life look like? The pea that was growing in Ron's lung would not have continued to grow. It would have needed sunlight. It would have needed soil. So he might have been okay. But we're not going to be okay if we don't. If we don't have soil and sunlight in our lives to develop the faith. We only get to be good disciples by pressing into God. So what kind of soil are you? Hard, shallow, distracted, good. You get some seed on a Sunday. The question is not what happens on the Sunday, but what happens on the Monday. I was in Manzimtoti at my other church. I have two churches. Look at me, overachiever. And when I was visiting there, somebody said, hey, we really need to go and visit this man and pray with him. So he wasn't in their church. He was just a friend of a friend. So we went to this house, and I prayed with this man. He'd been diagnosed with cancer. And when I met him, it was tragic. It was about 3 weeks down the road since he was diagnosed, and he had been given a prognosis of a couple of months. And I remember praying with him, and his friends were incredibly worried that he didn't know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. So what do you do when you have that situation? You call the pastor, obviously, you know, because he knows what to do. So I'm praying with this man, and then I said, are you sure of your faith? And he said, yes. Years and years ago, I was at a youth rally. This is a man in his 60s, okay. I was at a youth rally, and I responded to a call to follow Jesus Christ, and I accepted that call. Now his friends are excited. They're like, oh, thank goodness. And then he made some commitment to come to church and to get back into the Bible and to get close to God. And many Christians live lives like that, unfortunately. The commitment is the most important thing, and then after that, it's nothing. For him, it wasn't that he didn't like the church. He just kind of grew out of going to church. He grew out of fellowship, and we can't be those people. And you don't want to be the person that comes back to the church because you've got a scare like that. Not the person that gets a prognosis like that, and then you suddenly decide. I was always sad that I became a Christian later on in my life, because I thought, how much have I missed out on God because I haven't been following Him? And for many years, it was a big thing for me. I think sometimes I'm still a bit saddened that it didn't happen sooner. But yeah, faith isn't only about beginning; it's about continuing. And we have to hang in there. And then one of the results of seed, of course, is fruit. Trees grow in order to produce fruit. Ultimately, trees grow to produce more trees. We just grab the fruit in between and eat it. But ultimately, a tree's growth is about another tree. But Jesus says in John 15:5, he says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Such an incredibly strong scripture. And that whole verse speaks about this topic. Growth isn't measured in attendance, in Sundays, Bible study, anything like that, not years of being a Christian. Growth is measured in fruit. Growth is measured in fruit. Jesus said it, and Paul reminds us, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's almost like a checklist. Do I see this fruit in my life? If not, do I need to get closer to God? Do I need to say, Holy Spirit, these are your fruits. Are you active enough in my life? Am I more loving, more joyous, more peaceful, more displaying the fruit of the Spirit? What fruit is visible in my life? Back to the mustard seed. It's super small, pretty much insignificant, but leads to this massive, massive tree. Same with our faith. Our faith can start off really small, but as we press into God, we grow. You know, if you're not growing, then you are dead. If you're not growing, you're dead. You need to be growing. You can't be a dead Christian. So keep planting, keep watering, keep praying, keep obeying. God grows his kingdom in and through us. I said last time that we should stop living as orphans. This week I want to say, don't stop growing. Growth isn't automatic, it's intentional. We put ourselves in a place of growth. So the challenge maybe as we go from this place each day, ask yourself at the end of the day, how did I grow closer to Jesus today? Okay, and if you're with your spouse, then you can ask each other, how did you grow closer to Jesus today? And how did you grow, Lorna? Okay, just checking. Not did I go to church, did I read as much Bible as I was supposed to, but did I become more like Christ today? And will I tomorrow and the next day? So keep growing in him.